Welcome back to Bird's Eye View. This is your weekly Orioles podcast for a lack of insight and baseless opinion. My name is Scott Magnus, and I'm here with my wingman, Jake English.
Hello there, big boy.
Hey. This is episode 45, and you can find us on birdseyeviewbaltimore.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/BEVcast. You should be following us on Twitter at birdseyeviewBAL. And also, head over to iTunes. Give Apple some more of your money. You can see us at birdseyeviewbaltimore.com/iTunes.
And while you're there, go ahead, feel free to leave us a comment, rate, and review the show. We'd love to know how you think we're doing. That always helps us with getting hits on iTunes. It helps boost the rankings, all that kind of good stuff.
And we love negative comments. So anybody out there that hates us, let us know. We like to know who our populace is so we can come and burn down your house.
And we'll renew the offer. You say something nasty about us, we will absolutely read it.
Yep.
All right, Scott, what do you say we dive into the drink of the week?
All right. How about you? What are you drinking?
I don't even know. I'm drinking a Balt beer.
A Balt beer?
What is this?
Okay, this is from Union Craft Brewing, and it's Balt beer. And it's basically a German old-style lager beer. And it's brewed right here in the heart of Baltimore by a new microbrewer that opened up a year ago.
All right, this sounds really classy. So I'm almost
needless to say, it wasn't $4 for a six pack.
Well, it's funny you mention that because I'm almost at the bottom of this, and to back me up, I have a beer that's going to wink at me.
Okay, so you got a mustache ride coming your way.
I do indeed.
Okay.
All right, so there you have it, the drink of the week, the Balt Alt beer
from Union Brewing Company. Keep up the good work, Baltimore. More microbrews for all of us.
Absolutely. And that brings us to our favorite point of the show, which is
the Brian Roberts Watch.
The Brian Roberts Watch. And, I mean, what can we say about Brian Roberts at this point?
He's still alive?
He is still alive. I'm glad you went with alive rather than the upright.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take that.
Modern medicine, everybody. Modern medicine.
You know, he's doing okay this week. He was 4 for 12. And that doesn't jump right off the page at you, but he's 4 for 12 with two walks, in which there was a double, and he's driven in four runs. And, really, I'll take that at the bottom of the lineup.
Exactly. I mean, for an individual that's going to be in the 8 or 9 hole, that's not too bad for a turnover. It's certainly better than Nolan Reimold.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah.
But it's also certainly better than Alexi Garcia, and more often than not, better than Ryan Flaherty.
On a consistent basis, yes. Yeah, although there is a recollection now by Orioles fans that Ryan Flaherty was the greatest hitting second baseman of all time now.
It's funny how revisionist history does get a hold of us. But yeah, so the Brian Roberts Watch, going pretty well. He's there in the nine holes. It's nice to have him there. Let's leave him there. And he's playing decent, if not solid, defense.
Yeah, he's almost taking that role that Nate McLouth had in there last year where he was in that nine hole and basically rolled over the lineup. Could he get back into starting and leading off for the team again? It's possible. But I think he's making a solid contribution in the nine hole, and it's also not stretching him too much.
Yeah, I'm fine with him there. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure that he's well-suited for the leadoff role anymore, and the top of the lineup isn't broken.
Right.
You know, we don't need to fix that.
Right. If I'm going to stretch a Roberts out, I'm going to stretch his wife out, but not him.
You had to go there, didn't you?
Pretty much.
All right.
I got it in before 5 minutes. We're in good shape.
We are in good shape. That is the Brian Roberts Watch, which brings us to the medical wing, and you alluded to this, so why don't you walk us through?
Sure. Nolan Reimold, nerve inflammation in his spine. He's going to have season-ending surgery, which
he had it today.
Yeah, which is interesting because it basically came out from his wife on Twitter first before it got any other individuals came out with it.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So if you really want to follow anything about Nolan Reimold, follow his wife apparently on Twitter.
I think you following the baseball players' wives, not a good thing. Everyone else, they can go ahead and do that.
I'm going to say is Jill Davis is still on Twitter and Chris Davis isn't, so I'm just thinking that's a statement right there.
You're a little bit stalking.
Yeah.
Nolan Reimold apparently had his vertebrae fused back together or whatever it was, infused with adamantium, whatever it is that they're doing to him these days. It's going to end his season. He's not going to be ready for spring training next year, so it's just more of the same with him.
Again, it's time to move him out to the back of the yard, bring the shotgun out, stroke his head a little bit.
Why don't you just put him out to pasture? Why do we have to be so violent?
Look, I got a gun for a reason. I'm going to use it.
Wow. What else do you have in the medical wing?
All right. How about we come back to Steve Johnson? Steve Johnson's going to be making his rehab start today in Aberdeen.
I've heard of that place.
Yeah, it's pretty close to us. So we'll see how he does against minor league low A ball. It should be fine. He should do great. I'm sure they'll keep him on a short pitch count, but it'll be good for him actually to see some real competition as opposed to a simulated game.
Sure. Okay.
How about we go to Steve Pierce? Still has tendonitis in his left wrist, but who in the hell knows when he's going to come back?
I've heard nothing about Steve Pierce.
He is magically nothing. Vanished into a deep, dark abyss.
I can't figure this out. I mean, he's either really hurt or we are really trying to keep him away from the Yankees.
Right. All right, and then there's Wilson Betemate with his PCL tear. You know, people were talking about maybe him coming back right around the All-Star break. He hasn't started baseball activities yet, so I'm thinking...
Sorry, Wilson!
Yeah, I think I'm sorry, Wilson. I don't think Mr. Betemate is going to be making it back anytime soon. I think the fact of the matter is the Orioles are ready to move on without him going forward. And it looks like they might have a capable DH. Spoiler alert, we'll be talking about that later.
What?
I know.
All right, well, I think that's about it for the medical wing, which brings us to our next topic.
Well, there's actually a few more things I wanted to cover in terms of medical wing, but nothing major injury-wise, but there's been a few things talked about on the broadcast. The Chris Davis grimace is one thing I wanted to cover.
Okay, please, I want to hear about this.
Yeah. The Chris Davis grimace, I think, is absolutely hilarious. It was the aspect where Davis hit that double, and the announcers basically said, Davis is, you know, grimacing after he hit that ball. He's obviously injured. And there's been crazy stuff going on with Manny Machado taking his gloves off and people saying, oh, is there something wrong with his hands? I'm not sure what's up with baseball announcers right now in the media, but I think we're starting to blow things out of water a little bit. I mean, it's a long-ass season. People are going to get aches and injuries. Deal with it, people.
Yeah, the grimace gate of Chris Davis in that inning, and it really was only that one inning where something appeared that, like it might be a miss. But look, Buck and Richie Bancells ran out there at second base to talk to him, and they turned right back around and went away.
Well, you know what he said. They came out there, and Davis said, you better go back into the dugout. You wouldn't want to see me angry. And they just turned right around and went right back into the dugout.
Was there like soft music playing in the background and his eyes flashed green? It's no good. And I don't even know what to say about Manny Machado's gloves, because I'm not sure there is anything related to baseball that I could be less interested in. And I'm a guy that likes uniforms and you know, the aesthetics of baseball and all that. But really, I don't care. So that was really important about the medical wing. I appreciate you taking us there for Grimace Gate.
No problem. Grimace Gate, super important. Had to bring it up. All right. Moving on to the next topic. The bevies.
Hey, the bevies are over. The bevies were fun.
Thank God they're over.
I know. It was look.
Just like any award show, they ran over and it was too long.
Nobody was there to give us the hook, though. It was great.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to hire some other people next year. Maybe an orchestra to... You know,
start playing
to take you off stage.
Well, I'll tell you what, the bevies were a lot of fun. We got a lot of great feedback from it. A lot of people have downloaded the bevies, which I don't understand because it's a 2-hour, 19-minute marathon of a podcast. But thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate it. If you haven't heard it, go check it out. You can find it on our website.
Well, actually, I was doing some tracking of that on the website. A lot of it actually is being downloaded by the government. And I'm thinking that the government is actually downloading it and using it as torture music at Guantanamo Bay. So I think they'll just be playing over the loudspeakers and people just be busting their heads open or willing to say any information in order to stop that podcast from ever being played ever again.
It seems plausible.
Yeah.
Usually not so much with you, but I'm going to give you this one. Seems plausible.
Either that or they're looping or singing.
That's not a good idea for anyone involved. Hey, we haven't talked about the All-Star game because we were talking about bevies the last time we got together. So let's do just a quick couple of thoughts about the All-Star game itself. What about the Orioles? Did they acquit themselves well?
I think they did absolutely great. There was really no major moment from the All-Star game besides Mariano Rivera coming in. By the way, he still sucks. But the Orioles did make a contribution of, you know, Jones's double and just constantly bringing RBIs and runs in. So, yeah, and Manny Machado had a great defensive play. You know, a typical Manny Machado defensive play, but heralded by all the national media of being a great defensive play.
You know, it was so funny because I read that they were in the dugout, and Manny Machado makes that play, and everybody's hooting and hollering, And J.J. Hardy said he literally turned around and walked away from the top step as if to say, this happens all the time in Baltimore. This is not a big deal. But it was nice for the national baseball world to kind of get a glimpse into our everyday game.
Right.
No, I thought they did acquit themselves very well. It was nice to see them in there. I was not even that bummed that Chris Tillman didn't get in the game. You know, he was a late addition, and you got to have somebody for the extra innings. So
actually, I thought it made a lot of sense based on the addition of Tillman. It was an individual that you didn't have to get into the game, which allowed other players to play longer in the game and allowed everybody else to get in the game. So Tillman being included wasn't the only player from one of the teams that had one or two players. He was a member that already had four players, so the fans weren't going to be bummed that they weren't going to see Tillman, but still it filled a position role.
Sure, and I thought Leland did a great job from the manager's chair. I thought it was a well-managed All-Star game.
Yeah.
All right, what about Chris Davis in the Home Run Derby?
He put on an admirable show. You know, he didn't win it, but that's okay. 12 home runs over two rounds, not a bad showing. Not great, but not bad.
He didn't get bounced in the first round like hometown boy Robbie Cano.
Robbie Cano, well, maybe he should be talking to his boy A-Rod.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. All right. One other thing I wanted to bring up about the All-Star game, and I don't know if you read this. I blogged about this. Apparently, some guy in the Atlantic wrote an article and basically said that the demise of the All-Star game, of baseball's All-Star game, can be attributed to the city of Baltimore.
What?
Did you read this?
No.
Okay, so apparently he's saying that the All-Star game sucks now because the fans booed Cito Gaston in 1993.
Yeah, so?
Okay, so in 1993, Cito Gaston is a giant douche. He doesn't bring in the hometown representative of Mike Mussina, even though there's plenty of opportunities to do so. Instead, he brings in his own guy to close in the game, and the fans start booing.
Because he's Canadian.
Yes.
Well, screw the Canadians.
And he has a mustache.
Their bacon is ham!
Their bacon is ham. So the author's point was that after that experience, the managers for the All-Star teams felt very pressured to make sure they brought in every player. And because of that, you had the 2002 tie in the All-Star game, and that has watered things down and made the ridiculous thing of, oh, now it counts and all that, and it can all be attributed back to Baltimore. So, no. Scott, I ask you, crap or valid?
Absolute crap. Absolute crap. The only situation with fans booing their home team is their home team players not coming in. And they don't care to see somebody come in that is from Milwaukee or Tampa or anything like that. They want to see their hometown players come in or a true All-Star. So they don't care if some relief pitcher comes in and it's like, who the heck is this guy? They want to see their hometown player.
This year is a perfect example. A guy like Chris Tillman, we're fine with
that. Yeah.
Sit him on the bench. A, Chris Tillman was not a legit All-Star.
Right.
I'm just going to throw that out there. He was a late addition.
Right.
The wins mean nothing. Yet. B, he plays for a team that already had great All-Star representation.
Right.
We had four other guys. And the third thing is that he's not a Met.
Right.
All right, he's not a Met, which means that it's fine for him to not play. Absolutely, Leland should have felt, the National League had to bring in all of their Mets. All of the Mets had to play.
Well, I mean, it comes back to the situation. Let's even look at the starting pitcher for the All-Star game for the National League. Matt Harvey was your starting pitcher for the National League. Should he have been the National League starting pitcher? Probably. But Kershaw also has a legitimate argument for being that starting pitcher. But if you had the choice between Kershaw and Harvey, you look at both those players and say, I could choose either one. I'm going to go with Harvey because it's his hometown.
Right. Look, the All-Star game is all about exhibition. It's exhibition of baseball and all the things that are right with baseball. And that's why the Mariano Rivera thing was excellent. I mean, I thought it was great. That moments like that is what baseball is all about, even if you don't like it.
I just like the Sweet Caroline thing right before it.
Oh, that was awful.
Ultimate trolling by Major League Baseball.
Yes. But the thing with this article was horrific. I mean, to blame Baltimore for the 2002...
Bum, bum, bum!
Yuck. So if you haven't read that, check out the website. There's a blog on there somewhere about that. It's crap. And the last thought I wanted to throw out there about the All-Star game is there's some rumblings about Baltimore trying to get the game in 2016.
Well, they've asked for it for Major League Baseball, so that's, you know, that's good to go. I think they get it. I think they get it.
I certainly hope so. There are a lot of things going for it. It'll be the 25th anniversary of Camden Yards in 2016. Also, it's just a beautiful venue for baseball.
Right.
I mean, if you are trying to show off your sport, there are not a whole lot of better places to do it. I mean, obviously, PNC is a beautiful park. AT&T is a beautiful park. you know, you could go to a place like Wrigley or Fenway to do the history, but Camden Yards is really in that upper echelon of, if you want to talk about giving people a good time with baseball, all you have to do is put the setting in Baltimore's Camden Yards. So, absolutely. I'm kind of bummed, to be honest with you, that the Orioles didn't try to get it for 2014.
Well, Target Field got it, didn't they?
Well, yeah. But the thing about 2014 is that that will be the bicentennial of the Star-Spangled Banner.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, like, a lot of other stuff going on. Like, I think Baltimore's trying to get the Army-Navy game back for that year. But I just thought that would be cool. You know? Miracle!
Meh.
All right.
All right.
2016 it is.
2016.
Scott, what else is going on this week of note?
There's been a lot of call-outs lately between the podcasts going on within the Birdosphere, so I'm not exactly sure what's going on with that. But there's two podcasts that we associate with, Section 336 and the Spastics, and they seem to be causing a stir lately.
Yeah, well, I mean, our friends and colleagues throughout the Birdosphere go deeper than that. I mean, there's,
well, yeah, but these two individuals,
there's BSR, there's OBP. I mean, there's great podcasts out there, but yeah, these two are getting kind of loud.
Yeah, they're getting loud, and they need to tone down the language a little bit. You know, this is about building a community. This isn't about having this weird battle, but this whole aspect of who's the best and who's the worst and all that, you know. Okay, screw that. We know we're the best, okay? We're taking it to you. We're coming for you. Here we come. We're coming. August 1st, grass is ours.
I'm going to throw this out there, and I know you're excited, and that was great theater. I'm going to say we are the best and we're the worst.
We're the best, worst podcast out there.
Ooh, you may have something there.
Yeah.
So other podcasts in Baltimore.
You know, WNST were just come out and saying that we're the best, worst sports radio broadcast out there. I listen to them all the time, but they actually think that they're a legitimate media source. So
you listen to them all the time?
No, I just flip by and just laugh sometimes.
Other Baltimore sports podcasts, you're on notice. I don't know what this whole podcast battle thing is, but you're going down. I also like to point out that I'm pointing at the microphone in a threatening manner.
So people can see you.
Nobody can see that but you.
Yeah. Nice show with the video. Great example of radio face on both our sides.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that, I think we should wander into another big topic of the week. Let's take a quick break, refresh our drinks. I need a mustache ride, and then let's get into it.
Oh, I'll give you a mustache ride.
Oh, no.
You're cheating hard. Cry and cry and try to sleep, but sleep won't come the whole night through. Your cheating heart will tell on you.
All right, and here we are. Let's talk about a little bit of cheating, shall we? Big news in baseball this week is PEDs in baseball. We've all known that the Biogenesis crap has been coming. And specifically this week, Ryan Braun has been handed a 65-game suspension that will leave him out of baseball for the remainder of the season.
Without pay as well.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Honestly, I'm just sick and tired of hearing about PED talk and steroid talk in general. I understand it's a big deal, but the media coverage and it almost seems overblown. I really raise the question of, do fans really care about this PED or drug usage? Because, honestly, it doesn't seem to be a big topic in the NFL, and I think we all know that something is occurring also in other sports, but it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal.
Look, I hear what you're saying, but I think that's what makes the beast of football and baseball different. I mean, you know, the numbers are holy in baseball. You know, the numbers are basically the highest thing that this sport has. You know, the game has so many, there are so many games in a season, and the only thing that differentiates the good from the bad is what they're able to amass at the end of the year. You know, those stats. And the legitimacy of those stats is being called into question. I mean, you're hearing it called cheating. You know, you don't see Sean Merriman with his PED suspensions in the NFL cheating.
Okay,
you know, it's a violation of the substance abuse policy. It's cheating in baseball.
I understand what you're saying.
It tugs at our heartstrings differently.
But you're looking at it from a stats aspect. But I'm going to come back from the baseball purist aspect. If we really want to look at stats, look at pitcher stats today versus a pitcher like Jim Palmer. Jim Palmer's stats are absolutely unbelievable compared to stats of pitchers today. But you take a look at Jim Palmer's stats versus Walter Johnson's stats, and Walter Johnson's stats are unbelievable versus Jim Palmer's. So you have to look at each era specifically to determine how a player's impact was on that stage. Let's go back to Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds' stats are unbelievable, but again, they had that asterisk next to it because you say, okay, he was probably a PED/steroid user. Do you put an asterisk next to him and say, like Chris Davis has, and saying he's not the true home run king? Well, no, you just come back and say he may have the most during a season, but I don't consider him to be the greatest player that has played during those seasons.
It's true. Look, I think that baseball is going through a period of trying to figure out how they feel about it. You know, they obviously had their head in the sand during the late 90s and early aughts, and it's really progressed both from how it's portrayed in the media to the organization of MLB itself to even the players, where it was kind of ambivalence and then suspicion, and now it's just straight up anger. You know, like you're starting to hear other players call people out for using banned substances.
Yeah, you got managers and players starting to call people out. You have the Arizona Diamondbacks allegedly call out Buster Olney. This is what Buster Olney said. He said the Arizona Diamondbacks were upset about Ryan Braun because they felt like he impeded them to be able to go deeper into the playoffs by playing against him.
Wow.
So that's one thing. You've got a lot of players coming out that are basically saying, we're not going to accept this anymore. Jeremy Guthrie has been pretty vocal about that. He wrote a blog post about that. But there's been other key categories as well. Joe Girardi also came out last night and was ripping on steroid users as well, which...
irony.
A little ironic, but also it kind of makes me think to myself, there is a changing tide here, and it looks like now people are saying, look, we put all these rules in effect. If you're not going to follow them, we're going to come down with a hammer on you.
Yeah, and you mentioned that I wrote that blog, and so I'm just going to rip from it here, but I still encourage people to go look at it, if only to read what Jeremy Guthrie had to say. I think that in a lot of ways, baseball mirrors life. And that's also part of the mystique of baseball. And like so many things in our lives, baseball will never be perfect. You know, there will always be some people that try to skirt the rules. There will always be some people that try to game the system. But I think in the game's efforts to clean itself up, to fix its failures, you're going to see, you know, an attempt to get there. And I think that will help bring people back to feeling like they can trust the sport again.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. I don't think anyone's ever going to fully trust it, and I just don't see what the big deal is. Sorry, I'm over it. It was a big deal, you know, 8 years ago, but I just have come to just accept it for what it is. People are going to cheat. It happens everywhere. It happens in real life. It happens in sports. People are going to get caught. Let's move on.
Well, while we talk about the PEDs and Ryan Braun, I want to make sure that people, especially Orioles fans, are really careful not to get too far down the Schadenfreude road. You know, I mean, not enjoy, you know, the misery of Ryan Braun and Brewers fans, because, you know, this can happen to anybody. This can happen to any team. This can happen to any fan base. I mean, think about back to the Mitchell Report and how many Orioles were on that. You know, how many Orioles we liked were on that. And I just wonder, you know, how long is it now before Danny Valencia gets suspended? You know, not a big deal. He's only been an Oriole for this year, and he hasn't really done much for the team, period. But, you know, I assume it's coming.
I assume it's coming to a certain regard, too. It's just a question of how severe that is. But, yeah, it's always a possibility that a player could get named and is going to get suspended. It's just something that, you know, you just have to take and not say, ha-ha, this player got it out of here, because it could equally pop up and say, now this player has been suspended because we weren't aware that he was involved as well. So I'm not going to get into it much more because I don't, like I said, it's not part of the game that I want to talk about. I understand your frustration with the stats and the oh holy numbers, but I like just going to the game just to watch the game, not so much to be that concerned about the all-time stats. I'm looking at it and saying this player was a key contributor for his era and move on from there.
All right. So you're apparently back in the late 90s, early aughts as far as having your head in the sand.
I am.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, in that case, let's step aside. There's somebody I want to talk about.
All right, we'll be right back.
EC31 said we go to Dirty One. Maxwell stands alone. Painting testimonial pictures. Oh. Rose and Valerie screaming from the gallery. Say he must go free. The judge does not agree and he tells them so.
That's right, folks. The hammer is here in Baltimore, finally. And not Maxwell Silverhammer, hammering Hank
urethra. Urethra. I believe it's pronounced urethra.
I've actually been told it's urethra.
Urethra.
It's urethra?
Yes.
All right. We're going to keep going with that, huh?
Absolutely.
All right.
Until he calls and tells me otherwise, it's hammering Hank urethra.
Gotcha.
So he's here,
Do you speak Spanish?
I'm fluent in defected Cuban.
Gotcha. So you know defected Cuban for urethra?
Yeah.
Okay. If not, we got plenty of interpreters, so we can make this happen.
I like it.
All right, so he's here. Great. Big deal, so what? Who cares?
How excited should we be?
Well, he's not Nolan Reimel, so that's a plus.
That is a good thing. And we've gotten almost nothing out of our... out of our DHs. I guess he can only be an improvement?
That's kind of where I see it. He can only be an improvement. You know, you look at his minor league stats, and they're definitely impressive. It's just a question of how does he do on a consistent basis once the scouting reports come out against him. People have said that he does very poorly against the breaking ball, which
we've seen.
Right, which is interesting also, too, that we're in Tuesday night game here against Bruce Chen. He was not put into the lineup tonight. He is a left-handed pitcher, and he doesn't do as well against left-handed pitchers. But that's a question of how does he handle the breaking balls going forward. And the other question is, how does he do on the base paths? Because that's been a question mark for him, too. And he had a sloppy base play on Monday's game that got him out on the base pass.
Yeah, that's a play that you can really forgive when you win, you know, 9-2 or whatever it was. But in a close game, that'll kill you every time. And I think that... what we really have to think about is, you know, is he going to see time against lefties? You know, particularly that's an important question if if Danny Valencia is going to be suspended for PEDs. You know, if we start running out of DH possibilities, you know, he may be pressed into service before he's ready. We may be at a situation where we don't have any other options. I'm also interested to see whether or not we'll see him in left field at any point.
Yeah, I don't really see him as being a left field candidate. I think if you're going to go with left field, you're going to put Nate McLaughlin there.
Yeah, but can he play every day?
No. So I guess eventually you're right. He will have to play a little bit of left field.
And who backs up Nick Markakis in right?
Ryan Flaherty.
Okay, so we do have some guys who can who can play the
corner. Steve Pierce when he gets back.
Okay, yeah. So we have some guys that can be... pressing the service in the corner outfield positions who aren't Henry Urethra, but at some point I think he's going to have to also show his chops in the field, and that will determine whether or not he can make it here in the majors.
Right.
I'm excited about the fact that, you know, we may have somebody who can handle the stick to be our DH. I'm not sold on him yet.
It's been two games.
And everybody has every right to be excited, sure. But let's not get too far ahead of ourselves, shall we?
Right, it's been two games. Let's not get too carried away. It's not that big of a deal. Just stay calm, Baltimore. There are other All-Stars in this team besides Henry Urethra. And we'll see what he does. But it's been two games. it's going to be at least a month, but I hear people already talking about how he's going to be this year's Manny Machado, and he's going to lead this team into the playoffs. If this team is going to get into the playoffs, it's going to be on other players like Chris Davis, Adam Jones, Manny Machado, and Matt Wieters. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, if he's a solid contributor, that'd be great.
You know, the other thing is that he cost this team Chris Dickerson. Do you think that's a real loss?
I like Chris Dickerson a lot, but I think the move makes sense.
Sure. Look, I like Chris Dickerson, too. He can play the outfield, including center, which is an important thing. At this point, our backup center fielder is Nate McLeod.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was a dependable left-handed bat, you know, off the bench. I like Chris Dickerson. I don't think he's a huge loss, but keep in mind, the Orioles are trying to swing a trade for him. They have until this weekend to complete it. They're probably just going to lose him to waivers. And, you know, we did that so that we could bring up Hammer and Hank, and I hope it pays off.
Right.
So with that, that's really all we had for Hammer and Hank. I think the message is, well, we'll see. Keep your panties on, Baltimore.
Yeah, so let's take another quick break, and we'll be right back, and we're going to talk about the past week briefly.
All right.
The Orioles are playing out of their mind since coming back from the All-Star break, and even beforehand playing against the Blue Jays. Good series win there, and then come out of the All-Star break, questioning you're coming into, saying, okay, great, we're coming into Arlington. Never had great luck against the Rangers before, and hell, you sweep them.
Yeah, and we've been really reluctant to sweep teams this year, so it was nice to see them finally get the brooms out. And you're right, they're playing inspired ball right now, and really it's a matter of everything working for him. I mean, starting pitching is going deep in the game so far, and you've got guys like Tillman, who, you know, we've talked about. He's no ace. I don't really think he's an all-star, but he's pretty good.
He's a good number two, number three pitcher,
and again, doing his job, pitching, you know, deep into games. He gave us an eight inning performance the other night. Then you got, you know, Miguel Gonzalez, who in his I think the stat is in his 34 starts for the Orioles, 23 of them have been quality starts.
Yeah. I was actually looking at the stats between this year and last year for Miguel Gonzalez, and they actually are almost identical.
Absolutely.
Like, it's really scary how identical they are. So
he's a model of consistency.
Right. So if you look at how he did last year, everyone's just like, oh, Miguel Gonzalez was amazing last year. He's doing the exact same thing this year, which is great to see. That means that pitchers and scouts have not been able to figure him out. And I think it also comes back to pitch consistency with him, where he knows where he wants to throw it, and he's going to throw it there, and he's going to challenge batters to hit what he's throwing them. He's not going to nibble or anything. It's just, this is what I got. I'm trusting in my stuff. If it's not good enough, then I won't be here.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that leads to the question is, who was the real Scott Feldman? You know, is it the guy that we saw the other night who, again, went eight innings, gave you a really good start? Are we going to see that guy every fifth day, or, you know, were we spoiled with that?
I don't think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see a better version of Freddy Garcia, if that makes sense. Where instead of it being, oh, wow, he's pitching really good, or it's, yeah. I don't think it's going to be so much, yeah. I think it's going to be, all right, that wasn't a great thing, but at least we're still in the game.
Yeah, I don't think that we're going to get what we got from him in the last game.
Right.
But I think that he can be a solid pitcher for us.
But if you got like 6 1/3 from him certain games, and you're like, okay, he gave up 4 runs, and we're down by a run or two, all right, I'll take that from Scott Feldman.
Absolutely.
I think the biggest thing coming from the starting pitching, and it was evident by Chen, Tillman, and Feldman pitching, was starters got deep into the game, which didn't tax the bullpen as much, and then that really paid dividends of saying, okay, we don't have to bring in three pitchers in one game to finish this game out. You could bring in one or two pitchers and finish this game out.
Absolutely.
In a few instances, it should have been bring in one more pitcher and finish this game out, but certain people couldn't close the deal.
Absolutely.
Tommy Hunter, I'm looking at you, baby.
The other thing that's going on this week is that the offense is absolutely on fire. It seemed like for a while they were world beaters, and then they just kind of fell off the table.
Well, it's Davis Machado, right?
No.
What?
No. Machado and Davis are actually kind of quiet. I mean, Machado is not hitting double after double anymore, and Chris Davis hasn't hit a home run since the All-Star break. It's really been everybody else and manufacturing of runs.
Well, it's also been that consistency at the bottom of the lineup. I mean, there was plenty of games earlier this season where the top of the lineup would be absolutely insane, and then the bottom half of the lineup would go like 1-for-20 for the entire game, and you'd be like, ugh.
I think the guys that have really been carrying the club right now is J. Paws Hardy and Mr. Matt Scott's MVP Wieters.
They've both been contributing, but again, that comes back to solid contributions at the bottom of the lineup. When you have your sixth and seventh batter doing well, it also puts additional pressure if they get on base for your eighth and ninth batters. And Brian Roberts and, you know, Hammer and Hank have done pretty well in the games that he's played in. So kudos to the Orioles for, you know, doing well at that bottom half of the lineup. If that bottom half of the lineup can contribute, you know, it's just making that top half of the lineup even better. And it becomes a really dangerous lineup if that bottom half can contribute anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, we were winning games, you know, 9-2, 7-4, that kind of thing. The Orioles definitely has a lineup that can tax an opposing starting pitcher, you know, to get into that soft underbelly of the bullpen. While we talk about the bullpen, this is probably a good time to mention that thing that happened today.
Yeah, the Orioles made a trade. Apparently they don't do that very often, but they made a trade.
The Orioles made a trade, and I'm not even really sure how to feel about it.
Well, let's go through with the trade. Now, everyone is going to know it by the time they listen to this podcast. But we traded away Nicky Delmonico for K-Rod from Milwaukee.
Yeah, and the thing that's weird to me about that is that Nick Delmonico is, depending on what source you look at, either the fourth or the fifth best prospect in our system. And so we gave away a 20-year-old Nick Delmonico for K-Rod, who is going to be a free agent at the end of the season.
Yeah, look, I'm going to come right back to starting pitching. The starting pitching has not gotten deep into games, and the question really is, how taxed is that bullpen going to be? We've already seen it somewhat with Tommy Hunter and Darren O'Day, and even Jim Johnson to a certain extent, too. The ability to have someone in there that has a veteran presence that can come in during the 7th, 8th, or 9th inning and close out these games, I think is invaluable going forward. The question is, was it worth giving up a second-tier prospect in Nicky Delmonico, who is only in high single A, to go out and get, like you said, a half-season rental?
That's why I'm not even sure how to feel about it. It's weird because in past seasons, you know, the All-Star break comes, and you're like, God, why won't the Orioles make any moves? And here they are. They made a move, which is basically, I want to win now. Let's go ahead and get ourselves a rental to make a push for the playoffs. And I don't know. I'm not sure I have a warm and fuzzy about it.
Well, there's a few things here. Number one, I feel a lot more warm and fuzzy about this trade than I did last year with the Jim Thome trade.
Okay, but that's not fair because you hated that trade.
Right. Number two, I do think this also demonstrates the aspect of, if you look at the Orioles farm system, it's becoming stronger and stronger each year. In past years, we would not have had anybody in the farm system to really trade to go out for a top prospect. In honesty, K-Rod was one of the top prospects out there from the bullpen that was being looked at by several individuals. So if someone wanted to bolster their bullpen, and there are plenty of people that want to go out there and bolster their bullpen, K-Rod was number one or number two on most people's list. The fact that the Orioles were able to go out and get him, both is good for them because they're able to shore up their bullpen, but also the fact of the matter is, it takes away something from a playoff competitor, such as maybe the Tigers. I mean, the Tigers are looking for bullpen help because, you know, they get into that back of that end of the bullpen, and it's the question of, are we really going to close this down? Yeah, I know even Cleveland was looking for bullpen help as well. You know, what who am I thinking about? Who plays Grilly? Oh, the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to be looking for bullpen help because Grilly just went down last night, too, with elbow issues. So there's going to be playoff teams that are going to be looking for a player of that caliber, and the Orioles jumped on it well in advance of the trade deadline, I might say, too. So we didn't wait to the last moment and say, well, let's just see how the trade market comes on. This was an aspect where I'm sure Duquette and Buck said, this guy's available. Do we want to try it? And they said, let's go win now.
All right. I guess that this means that Asensio or whoever is going to be sent down.
I would expect so.
Okay.
I would expect so.
So it really doesn't cost anybody of real value a roster spot at this point.
Like I said, the only person of value that this really cost was Nicky DeMonico. And the question always comes back to, how much do you value a prospect, especially a very mid-level prospect? I think it's a good move. I like it.
All right. Well, I
know you don't like giving a prospect, but I like it.
I'm ambivalent. I'll say that at the very most. All right. So we were talking about the Orioles, who are really clicking on all cylinders. And the other thing to keep in mind is that this this is a really good time to get hot. Here we are. Tonight is a Tuesday night. We skipped our Monday night drinking to move to Tuesday. And this is 100th game of the season. So here for the stretch run, we have a couple of benefits here. One, this is when the good teams start to separate themselves from the bad, right?
Yeah.
And the second part of that is that for the Orioles, this is when their schedule starts to soften up.
Yeah, this is the point of the season where they need to start winning these games. And it's not just so much against the Red Sox, but you're coming into a stretch here against the Astros. And you're coming into a stretch against the Mariners, who actually have been pretty hot lately, too, so let's not undermine them. But you're also going against teams in the NL West, and the NL West is absolutely disastrous. I mean, you give consideration how far behind the Dodgers were, mm-hmm. and now the Dodgers are in first place.
And the nice thing is that even if they've gotten hot, we've already played them.
Right.
So we're playing the rest of the terrible NL West.
Right. So we're definitely running into a portion of the schedule that, you know, if you're looking at, you can say, okay, if you look at last year in August and September, we were above 600 in terms of winning percentage. I'm looking for a similar performance this year against these teams right now. I understand the aspect of, all right, you know, keep winning series. And this is the time to start sweeping series and start really putting the momentum on and putting the accelerator on and going strong into September and going strong into the playoffs as well.
The other thing to keep in mind is that we have to keep the foot on the accelerator if we're going to keep up with the Rays. You know, it's all been about catching up with the Red Sox, and I get that, but the Rays are absolutely on fire at this point.
Yeah, the Rays are scary. I mean, it comes back to the whole aspect of starting pitching, relief pitching, and just timely hitting, and it's almost similar to the Orioles. The only thing that really you can come back and say has been a weak point for them has really been Fernando Rodney has been kind of, you know, not terrible in the, as a closer, but he has been somewhat inconsistent, similar to Jim Johnson in a regard. So that's the only thing I can see of being a weak point right now for the Rays, and that's not much of a chink in the armor.
It's really not. The only thing you can hope is that, you know, outside of this series that they're playing with Boston, is that maybe they hit a soft part of their schedule.
Right.
And maybe this, you know, 16 out of 18 or whatever it is not really indicative of what they're going to be able to contribute the rest of the season. But, I mean, we've got to keep on them. And we've got to make sure that we stay, you know, closer than we appear in that rearview mirror. Because otherwise, you know, we're just going to watch the Rays run away with the AL East. Now, if the season ended today, the three of the American League playoff participants would be the Red Sox, the Rays, and the Orioles. So all this about the AL East, you know, demise is grossly overstated.
Of course, we'd be going to Tampa to play a wild card game, and I have a feeling Baltimore that tickets would be available for us.
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
Huh. I heard that was a great venue for baseball.
Yeah. You know where our seats would be?
Hmm.
Right on the catwalk.
Nice. I like that. Now, can we bring noisemakers?
You
can bring those to minor league ballparks, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going to bring a t-shirt gun, personally.
I like it. I miss the heckler. Wasn't there like a really loud guy at Tampa? I don't think I've heard him anymore.
It just sounds really loud because the whole stadium's empty and it's, you know, got great acoustics in there.
I see. So the musical intro for this segment was All Together Now. You know, that's basically the AL East. All these teams are so close together. And that's really the story. You just got to stay close and wait until the Rays start to fall back to earth, because I really do think that they will.
All right. Well, with that, I think we're going to go into our fantasy segment of You're the Boss. So let's go into that now. When it comes to knowing That's right. It's time for You're the Boss. And, yeah, so you're the boss again, I guess.
Scott, let me ask you. Are you planning on winning any of these?
You know, I'm all about the comebacks.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to keep moving before you take that anywhere else.
All right.
The score is 2-0. Last week it was which Oriole All-Star would be involved in the most at-bats. You took the reserve Machado.
Yeah.
And I took Chris Davis, the starter.
I just figured that he would get Davis out to get Fielder in there, but I guess I was wrong.
I guess so. All right, so I get to pick the category, and you get to pick first. And I'm going to go with a little bit off the wall because that's how I'm enjoying doing this. I'm going to ask you this. Who draws the most walks over the next week?
Who draws the most walks over the next week? I'm going to go with Chris Davis.
All right, Chris Davis is an excellent choice. I myself am going to go with Nick Markakis.
Was going to be my other choice. So,
all right, so we'll put it up on the board. We'll see who comes up with the most walks. Again, the way this works, the winner then picks a mystery category, which is unveiled live, so to speak, on the podcast, and then we will keep score at the end of the season. The winner will get absolutely nothing.
Yeah, except mocked, basically. All right, with that, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
That's right. That's it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm going to fire right into mine. This week, Scott, the good has to be Matt Wieters, a guy that we've talked about all summer as being a guy who really needed to get himself together, a guy that you had a lot of faith in and were looking for a big season from. But, I mean, in the last seven games, he's really done the trick. He's batting .471. He's hit a home run. He's had two RBIs. He's really starting to put good swings on the ball. Hit two doubles. He's doing it all. This week, he was good.
I can't really argue with that. You know, my good has to be, and I was tempted to take Mr. J. Paws Hardy and take that 6-7, but I think I'm actually going to go with Nate McLaughlin. Nate McLaughlin has been absolutely on a tear, and I think I have to come back to Sunday's game and Monday's game where he just got on base a lot. I think last night he actually got on base 5 times.
It's a lot.
That's a lot. So, kudos to Nate McClosford really thriving in that role as a leadoff man, both against left-hand pitchers and right-hand pitchers. Buck gave him confidence, and Nate has rewarded him with, I can hit any batter you throw against me. Don't worry about my splits.
Yeah.
I'm Nate McClosford.
He's not a part-time player anymore.
Right.
Absolutely. All right, can I fire ahead to the bad?
Go for it.
All right, my bad for this week, and again, this hurts me. It's going to be Manny Machado with the plate. Manny batted a crisp 211 this week. With nary a double, he was 4-for-19 this week, and just not getting it done at the plate. Struck out 4 times. Everybody's going to go through slumps. He's still banging in the field, but as our number 2 hole hitter and a hitter that we've come to depend on, I need better from you. You're bad this week, Machado. You're bad.
Okay, I can kind of get that to a certain aspect. It comes back to what you were just saying with players in the middle of the lineup not living up to their expectation. Another individual that I'm kind of interested to talk about is Nick Markakis. My question really is leading back to the aspect of, should Nick Markakis be in the number 3 hole at this moment? He's not doing terrible, but he's also not doing great. And in fact, if you look at his entire season stats, he's having one of his worst seasons so far. And I know we were all in this vote orange kick, but I think we need to take a step back and look at Markakis and say, should Markakis be the number 3 hitter at this time? Or should Davis be the number 3 hitter with Jones following him? Markakis being a 5th hitter might be pretty interesting. Or you could even do Wieters, and then you could do Markakis later in the lineup too in order to give some more protection to Wieters as well. That being said, I don't like moving Markakis around that much because you're taking at bats away from him. And if we're talking about a clutch hitter, that's Markakis.
Yeah, I wish I could follow you on this one, but I can't. Yes, he deserves to be the number 3 hitter for this team.
Okay, that's fine. Like I said, it's an option I was throwing out there, but until this team starts performing poorly offensively, I can't advocate it strongly. Just something for us to give consideration to in the back of our head if this team starts to falter offensively.
Plus, you know, let me just throw out there, when the team is clicking in on all cylinders like we discussed earlier, it's a little tough to pick out bad and uglies for the week.
Right.
All right, speaking of ugly, I'm going to go ahead, and my ugly is none other than Tommy Goes Boom. Tommy Hunter had a rough week, let me tell you. Look, the 20.25 ERA he's bringing in, he only had an inning and a third, and it's a small sample size, and I get that. But Tommy Hunter has had a hard time closing the deal, and it's meant that Buck has had to bring in Jim Johnson to close out games that he was originally going to give him the day off for. And if we're not going to have a dependable Jim Johnson like we've been spoiled with, we need to have strong 8th-inning performances, 7th-inning performances from a guy like Tommy Hunter, especially because we can't always count on Darren O'Day to come in and save the day. Tommy Hunter, you're on notice. You got to get it together. You are the linchpin of that bullpen back there. And, you know, we've talked about it. Maybe that's the reason this K-Rod deal got done.
Yeah. I would probably pick Tommy Hunter for my ugly, too, if I was going first. So I totally agree with you. I'm not going to say anything more. You hit every single point. Kind of scary that I agree with you. But moving on, the other individual that I want to pull out for my ugly is Danny Valencia. Danny Valencia has the opportunity right now. He was, you know, in Norfolk for a good period of time, was brought back up and said, all right, here's your chance to be, you know, the DH against left-handed pitchers, and has come up and promptly done absolutely nothing for this team. Which raises the question of, should Hank Uridia be in the lineup every single day against right-hand pitchers and left-hand pitchers? If Valencia doesn't start delivering soon, Buck's going to make that move, send him down, and get some bench support either at, you know, in the outfield or, you know, first base, or it could be anywhere. I mean, but Buck's not going to tolerate that for much longer.
I agree. No, you're absolutely right. He had to, you know, take the bull by the horns. He had to make an opportunity for himself, and he just hasn't done it.
Right. The way I see it is they'll let him get back into Baltimore. They'll probably let him go through the Boston series and also the Houston series. But if he's not in the Seattle series, if he's not contributing to that by that point, he gone.
Yeah,
so we've got, you know, he's got 4 more series to basically pull together. And I don't think that's too short of a time period. I don't think it's too long of a time period. But that's when the judgment will be made of, do we want to keep him around or do we want to get rid of him?
So you're having the Goldilocks syndrome with his leash. It's just right at this point?
It's just right at this time. Like I said, let's see what happens. Uridia has only played for 2 games. We have to see how he does. But Valencia, you're on notice. Pick it up.
All right. Scott, we're down to our closing thoughts for the week. What do you have on your mind this week?
Well, the one thing is Section 336 is having their night at the yard on July 30th against the Houston Astros, so everyone should come out. There's a few tickets still remaining. You get a very sexy-looking T-shirt and an awesome magnet, and you can go see the Houston Astros play. So you get to see a minor league baseball team play against a major league baseball team. But you get,
for once, the minor league team is not us.
That's right. But it'll be a good night to come on out and enjoy the ball game. We will be there supporting Section 336 and maybe getting into a scuffle here or there if they start to call us out again. And there will be other Baltimore D celebrities there in attendance as well. Maybe F celebrities almost.
I think you're into like the beta, gamma, the Greek letters that follow the alphabet. I don't think that
Omicron and stuff like that. Yeah,
absolutely. We are Omicron celebrities. Yes.
Gotcha.
One other programming note: Thursday, which is 2 days from recording, I'm going to go ahead and have my wisdom teeth removed. Which, let me tell you, I'm really looking forward to. But
wait a second, you're going to get even dumber.
Oh, way dumber.
Wow.
I'm going to get even lighter in the head than I am now. I'm not really sure what that's going to do to our recording schedule. Apparently, I'm going to have a hell of a time with it. You know, you get your wisdom teeth removed as a kid, and you're fine. You get them removed after 30, and apparently it's a lot of misery.
So needless to say, everybody, whiskey will be on the menu for next Monday night's podcast. Right. We're going to pull Jake through it. If anything, everybody, it's going to be a short podcast next week, because I'll be doing the talking, and Jake will be doing some mumbling. So with that, I think it's time to put an end to this podcast. We'll talk to you next week. Goodbye, Baltimore.
Adieu.